scripture that one of the speakers spoke on at this conference at Straight Up. That's what it's called. It's at the Harvest Bible Chapel. And how many here listen to Christian radio once in a while? Raise your hand if you listen to Christian radio. How many of you are familiar with James McDonald? Raise your hand, okay? Several of you are. James McDonald is the pastor of the Harvest Bible Chapel. How many of you know who Joe Stoll is? Joe Stoll, he was there. Joe Stoll is the teaching pastor of this church, and he spoke as well. And then there were a number of other individuals who spoke that you may or may not be as familiar with, but were very dynamic. We also speakers. We also went to a number of, you know, went to the workshops that were how-to oriented. But the messages and the worship were not designed to be how-to, but rather they were designed to minister to our hearts and to really speak to our hearts, and indeed they did. I've asked the guys tonight to share with you. I think we'll start off with Abe Miller, and Abe's down with the youth tonight, so he comes to us by way of video, all right? So we're going to let him start us off, and then I'll have some of these other guys share, all right? Give your attention to what Abe has to say.
Going into the conference, it was God was really working on my own heart and just where I was at in ministry and spiritually and personally. So it was good to be able to get away and to go to something that's new and fresh and different. And right from the beginning, from the first night, I kind of had these things in my mind and in my heart that I was like, man, God, you just need to work me over on, and I'm sure you're going to. And the first message was, it was like, okay, God, You totally nailed me on that one. And the next, each message, it was just like a little bit each time was super challenging, and just heart issues in my own life and in ministry and stuff that was just really, really good and really, really positive, which I really enjoyed that part of it. And I guess some of the highlights, it was Joe Stoll spoke and talked about, he said he's 62 years old, and he just became very transparent. He said, I'm just sick of myself and worrying about myself and my ministry and if people are going to like me and if they want to hear me speak. And it's like the main thing is about Jesus Christ and Him glorified, and that was super challenging because I can so many times be focused on myself and what are the kids going to think? What are parents going to think? What's the church going to think? When it really comes down to what does God think, and He knows my heart and He knows my motives. So that was a powerful reminder to me that it's not about the youth ministry, it's not about the college or the main or the counseling or whatever, and not even necessarily our church, but it's about Jesus Christ and Him glorified, which is a great reminder for us as a staff and as a church and just as a body of Christ and as a body of believers. So it was super beneficial. I loved it. I loved the time with just the guys and discussing and challenging each other on certain issues and topics and stuff. So I guess that's it.
Thanks, Abe. I'm going to have Kevin come at this time and share, and we'll just go from there.
Back after what Pastor Abe was saying, this was a unique opportunity for us. This is really the first time as the pastoral staff, every one of us were able to go and sit under men of God who are doing the ministry as God has called them effectively. I mean, these are churches, and I realize size has so much to do with where you're located. These churches are all based in huge metropolitan areas. But they're ministries where these guys have a passion for the Word of God and for souls. And that's what this ministry is trying to accomplish, is to be true to the Word of God and to have a passion for souls. That's what grows a church. And one of the messages that really challenged me was Jack Graham. He's a pastor down in Texas. And, you know, an older fellow, I don't know how old he is, in early 60s maybe or something, but just a neat guy, a humble guy. And there was great respect for one another in this conference as well, which is really neat. But he was preaching particularly, he went to Isaiah 54, and at the beginning of the verse it says, "Sing, O barren one." He talked about how barrenness is a reproach, you know, unto a person who has a desire for a child, and just, you know, maybe some of you have experienced this, and, you know, it's just you really want something really bad. It's not like you have to work up emotions for it. It's just there, and it's there, and it's strong. And he talks about that barrenness of a woman who really wants a child. He referred to Rachel, and Rachel said, God, give me children or I die. You know, just pleading for God to meet that desire in her life. And then he turned that around to the spiritual. Do we have that kind of a view of lost souls? And that really challenged me. And I found myself saying, you know, I need to renew my passion for the opportunity to share the gospel, for the opportunity to actually see born ones come into the fold, and that God will give me that privilege and to be more intentional in praying that way and looking for those opportunities and asking God, give me that kind of burden, that kind of a burden that comes from you, just like a woman who desires a child, that I desire to see young ones come to Christ. And so that was probably the thing that riveted me the most, you know, in that, and that I left and has renewed my passion. And again, like I said, it was a unique opportunity just to share. It was so neat for us as men, as pastors, to hear a message and then to get together at either a meal time or after a workshop and to share and to sharpen one another and to, you know, learn from Mark and to learn from Abe and to learn from Lucas and Pastor and Gerald, you know, how God was working in his life and to take those pieces and to sharpen one another. This was a very valuable experience for us, and I'm glad that we were able to do it.
Thanks, Kevin. All right, why don't we have, Mark, you're right here. Why don't you go next? How's that?
I, too, just had a tremendous time at the Straight Up Conference, and thank you for allowing us the privilege of going. You can't quite put into words how beneficial and how refreshing it was, and I think that was the first thing for me that God impacted my life was maybe sometimes I don't realize how fast I'm going until I stop going that fast. You ever think that? And I got there, and I realized, man, I'm really tired. I've been working hard for a while and not slowing down. And just even the opportunity to sit in a time of worship where I'm not up there leading, I'm just singing my praise to God and hearing other people sing their praise to God and tell me how good God is to them too. I just can't express how much that meant to me to be able to sing praise to God with other believers. Just for no other reason, I was there to have my heart ministered to by people singing to me how good God is. But then not only that, to refocus myself. Pastor alluded to that passage and read it out of Philippians chapter 1, how Paul writes from his chains about how his eager expectation and hope is that now, as always, Christ is going to be magnified in his body, going to be glorified in his body. And he's writing that from house arrest in Rome. And I sat there and Joe Stoll made the point. He said, in your mind right now as I'm talking, and maybe you should do this even right now with me, in your mind, just write out, what are your expectations for your life? You know, and just start listing them. And I mean, I run my life off a list. You guys know this anyways. So I'm like, okay, I got like 35 things. And I, you know, I'm listing them, you know, like that's a good thing. And then he says, okay, now put a line down that mentally. Now on the other side, title that Your Expectations. Now title this one Paul's Expectation. And then he said, you know, there's only one thing on the list. He says, my expectation is that Jesus Christ would be honored. The rest of it, they're just means, but they're not the end. And I sat underneath that feeling so convicted yet again that of the centrality of honoring Jesus Christ in everything. Just what a challenge from God's word. And then probably the last thing that I really appreciated, like Kevin talked about, the opportunity. It's so rare that we get the opportunity to sit down with all of us and for an extended period of time just share what God's doing, share where God's at work, share where we have areas, get counsel and give counsel. And, I mean, especially from Pastor Lucas, I appreciated that. That's a joke. No. I was supposed to say that for Lucas's sake so that everyone would realize how wise he is. No, but I mean, I did. Abe and Lucas and I were like rooming together, and I got the privilege to sleep on the floor for 2 days. You know, all those guys had the beds because I'm the youngest guy. That's just what happens. It's okay. You know what I mean? And but yeah, that. Thank you for the sympathy. I appreciate that from the one person here who has sympathy for me. But I just appreciate. There was one night we stayed up till probably 2 a.m. where they're just pouring into my life and saying, here's some of the things we've learned. We know you're young, you're just getting into the ministry, and just sharing with me what God had done in their life. I don't quite know how to put into words how much that meant to me and how much I needed that right then. So thanks so much for giving us the opportunity to go and to learn from God and to hear from each other. It was just great.
Thanks, Mark. That's funny, that age thing worked out in our bedroom too, didn't it, Kevin? Anyway, okay, Gerald. I'm a little disappointed, though, Kevin, you didn't talk about your mattress deal. You'll have to ask Kevin about that one.
As the other guys have mentioned, it was one great 3 days or Sunday through Tuesday for myself. And there's three different areas that I would just like to share. And one is, as the guys already have talked about, the fellowship that as a staff that we can have. Now, coming back, you ought to have heard the noise in that van. I have one bad ear, and everything sounds like a bunch of ducks, you know, when they're all talking at once. But what I really appreciated, though, was his enthusiasm and the love for Christ that our staff has, and for their desire to see Christians grow and to see the world one to Jesus Christ. Man, that just thrills my heart to see that kind of excitement among our staff members. And one of the things that over the years that I've learned to do or really have had a desire to do when I come to a worship service is to, Lord, just remove any sin or any thoughts that should not be here so that that you can speak to me through the worship and through the Word of God. And as I was going up there, I had some time to pray. And, Lord, I don't know what all is going to be a part of this session or this time, but just speak to me. Just remove anything that's in my life that will distract me from being spoken to through the men of God that you are bringing there to this conference. And wow, what a group! A lot of these guys I've never heard before, but just as the guys mentioned, there are several thoughts that I wrote down that I came that spoke to me. That Christ came to seek and to save the world and those who are lost, and expect great things from God, attempt great things for God. Be sure your passion is to bring more spiritual children into the world. In 1 Corinthians 4:15, look unto the fields, for they are white unto harvest. And then our goal is to change lives. Changed lives will spark a church. Changed lives will make a church sing. And we've seen that here at Sailorville. People who have accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior and headed one way, but then their lives have been changed. And what a spark they've been. And what an encouragement they have been to us to see them to grow and to encourage others. One thing that really hit me, and as the guys already have mentioned, we're be swallowed up to one thing, and that is to glorify Christ and advance the glory of Christ. In other words, I think the whole thing that I got from it is little of self and more of Christ. Lord, I don't want to be glorified, but let us glorify Jesus Christ. And one more thing, the worship. God really spoke to me through the type of worship that was at the church there. I said, Lord, really speak to me through the worship. You know, wow, he just blew my socks off. I tell you, my listening to the worship teams that were there, and they really prepared me for the messages that I heard. And then there's one little gal, a little black gal, I think it was Monday night, who, man, the songs that she is part of the worship team, but then she had some solo parts and some, and it's all in the love of Christ, love of Jesus. And tears was in my eyes. And I think when we come to worship, we need to pray, Lord, take anything away from me that's going to hinder me from you speaking to me, that I may go out and share Jesus Christ with other people. That's one thing I got.
Thanks, Gerald. You know, next time we give you, we're going to have to give you a lapel mic because you do this a lot, you know. And Harold can't hear you, and he gets real frustrated when that happens. So, all right, Pastor Lucas, where are you? Come on up here, bud.
It was a great conference. That sounds a little bit redundant, but there's something I really appreciated. I experienced it on the night that Mark and I and Abe talked, but also on the van ride home. It was getting kind of late, and it's kind of tired, but we were talking the whole time, a whole bunch of ducks, like Gerald said. And it was good, though. It was some of the best conversations, I think, as a staff we've had, most open conversations, and kind of the term I slapped that was like that slumber party talk, you know. I don't know if you ever had a slumber party, but you hang out with your friends, you have a slumber party, and it's like 2 a.m, and all of a sudden you kind of open up, you start talking. Like there's this, like once like 2 o'clock in the morning hits, it's like there's this openness and this honesty, and you're just kind of talking, and it's not like everybody's like, you know, debating, or it's just like everybody just kind of talks and lets their heart out there, and there's not a lot of comments, you're just like, yeah, you're just kind of soaking it in. And so we had that slumber party kind of talk, and it was just good. It's good for our staff to do that, because oftentimes we talk about ministry and business and those kind of things. It was good for us just to chew through that. And even if there was nothing else that the conference accomplished, that for me was enough. And even when Mark was up here, and we were joking before, he made that comment about, you know, how wise I am. And we were joking about that earlier. I said, I was hoping you kind of mention something about me when you get up there. And we were just joking. But then he did, you know, and he kind of made a joke at my expense. But you know what? But I thought about that. It was funny. I thought about that. So, you know, before we went on this conference, I don't know if Mark would have felt comfortable making a joke at my expense. Maybe he would have. But what that communicated to me was that there's a relationship there now that's taken a couple more steps, and we have a comfort around each other. And that's part of the conference. That was neat. That was really neat. The part of the message that most messages were really good. There's one part that really kind of hit me, and I've been challenged in this area again, but I'm learning that it's something I need to be challenged in constantly. He gave a story about a church down in Atlanta, Andy Stanley's church. He's the son of Charles Stanley, and he's got a huge church. It's a small city. It's enormous. And it has exploded in a short period of time, and it's an amazing church. I've been there a couple times. It is absolutely amazing. I mean, it's just, you walk in, and you're blown away. And the number of people who go there, the people who are getting saved, it just blows your mind. And he gave a story about that church, and I was starting, it was exploding overnight. And, I mean, they're having, like, police officers directing traffic in there and out of there. And it's just, the streets would get so congested with the cars and stuff. And not too far from that church was a little vineyard church, a little small church. And it was totally causing problems for that church because, I mean, just all the congestion from the traffic. And he kind of took note of that. The pastor, Andy Stan, took note of that. He's like, oh, that church has just got to be hating us. You know, here we are, we're coming in on their territory, and we're, you know, exploding, and we're kind of making their life a little more hard. And he had a phone call. The story goes on that the pastor of the Vineyard Church called Andy Stanley and left a message. And Andy was not looking forward to returning that phone call, just knowing or imagine what that conversation might be like, but he did call him back. And the pastor at that small little church down the street said, he says, hey, I just want you to know that our church has been praying for many years that God would touch this community and Christ would be magnified. And we're so thankful that you're the answer to that prayer. And he was just, and he said, you know, I've noticed that you're having some problems with parking and stuff. We don't use all our parking lot because our church is pretty small. We get pretty big parking lot. So if you guys want to use from our parking lot, it's fine. If you want, you know, and I just was blown away about that. The whole fact that the church was praying that Christ would touch their community, and they didn't care if God chose to use them or not. They just cared that Christ would be magnified. And I was like, man, because I think about even around our own church and even like college ministry. I remember over at DMAC, and that's always been kind of like my territory. You know, I was like really the only established Bible study there. And then the last year or so, year and a half ago, a new Bible study got established. And I bristled a little bit. You know, this is my school. and they were doing some really creative things. And they were reaching students. Students were getting saved. And I kind of struggled with that a little bit. And I was like, why am I struggling with this? And just being reminded that, you know, my desire and our desire has to be that Christ would be magnified at DMAC and in our community. And regardless if God uses us or not, it'd be great if God did. But the point is, if God uses the E-Free Church, if he uses the First Family Church, if he uses some other church, and they're preaching the gospel, and God's blessing them, and Christ is being magnified, we need to rejoice in that. And praise God. We're all working for the same boss, and we're all on the same construction crew building the big church, and we just need to just have the comfort and to have the our identity so rooted in Christ that we can praise the success of others. And the verse that he mentioned here is popular verse here in Philippians chapter 1, where he says this, Paul speaking, and says, some indeed preach Christ from envy and rivalry, but others from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I'm put here for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of rivalry, not sincerely, but thinking to afflict me in my imprisonment. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in that I rejoice. And that was just the reminder to me that it's not about me. It's not about, I want Christ to be magnified, and part of me wants my name to be magnified too. I want Christ magnified around here. Part of that is I want our church, I want people to say, wow, Sailorville. And just for God to knock that pride out of my heart a little bit and say, you know what, it's not about you. Who cares, Lucas, if no one knows who you are, if no one even knows what your college ministry is, but Christ is proclaimed. If he uses somebody else, praise God for it. So,
thanks, Luke. Well, you're getting an idea. It was a very, very powerful time. And just to add to that, there was a common theme in all of these preachers that we picked up very early on, and you've heard it from almost everybody. And it was not just the proverbial more of him, less of me. I mean, sometimes we say those things so many times they start to lose their power. Do you know what I mean? You know, it's all about him. I mean, if I haven't heard that 300 times in the last 6 months, and I'm looking at half the people who say it wondering, really? Because I'm not so sure. But these messages really, really took it to another level. They all were dealing with our hearts. They were powerful personal testimonies within every single message. And by powerful and personal, I also mean very humble. You know, one pastor talking about Joe Stoll being mentioned, saying, and Abe mentioned it, I am tired of myself. And he gave an illustration of how he absolutely blew an opportunity to magnify Jesus Christ. Another man who was up there, I'd never heard of him before. I mean, this guy was just knee-slapping funny is what he was. His name was Bob Coy. He had pastored a church in Florida that for 3 years only had 40 people in it. And he was just ready to bag it. And he tells how the mothership, that's what he referred to, the main denomination, said, well, hey, you know, just leave. You ought to just leave. We'll send a college student. They'll come in and love your people. And he's thinking, these are my people, you know. He's suddenly wondering about that, you know. And he drove across a bridge and got out and stood by the bridge. He thought the people driving by probably figured he might be wanting to jump off, you know. 3 years, 40 people, come on. This thing isn't going anywhere. But he actually just stood out and looked over the city and made a promise to God that he was going to glorify God, and he was tired of being hung up on himself. That church today has 17,000 people in it. And they have seen just, and these are mega churches in mega cities. I mean, that's how some of these, but they're doing it for the glory of Jesus Christ. And that same preacher was in John chapter 1, and this was very funny. He was talking about imagining yourself to be John the Baptist as individuals were coming to him and saying, "Are you the Messiah?" And he just had a lot of fun with us at that point. I'm not even going to try to, there's no way I could replicate this guy's. He was acting out, how would you like to, me, Messiah, you want to take that in a little bit. But he was doing it, and he had us in stitches. And because he went from there, oh, well, are you Elijah? And again, he was saying, if I was John the Baptist, I want to play that out a little while before I just outrightly denied it. But he made his point. That John the Baptist's reply was, "I'm just a voice crying in the wilderness. That's all I am." And then he looked at it and said, "I don't care if you have 40 people in your church or 20 people in your church or 700 people in your church. We're here to be voices that are crying in the wilderness, making straight the way of the Lord, pointing people to the Messiah and that Jesus Christ is the way." One other individual challenged us as well. And again, I have to tell you, it's the same individual. What he did was he got out his, he went back in his ministry. He gave us a timeline of his ministry by way of the way in which we listen to music. So we got an 8-track player, a little portable one. I mean, it wasn't little, it was the biggest thing he put up there on the pulpit. And then he had a Walkman, then he had an MP3 player, and then he finally had his iPod, and he was kind of talking through the years and what he listens to and whatnot. And use that as an analogy of all the things that we do with our technology and all the things we do, stay on the cutting edge of ministry, in every way, But then he said, but if we're not making disciples, because that's the commandment, right, in the Great Commission, he says, if you're not making disciples, doesn't matter what else you're doing, you're losing. He said, because the call is to make disciples. Doesn't matter what else you're doing. And we have a lot of other things that we do. But, we can just rearrange the furniture in here and all kinds of things. But if we're not making disciples, we're not on the winning team, right? And so there was this common theme of great humility and as well as great passion for the gospel. It was an outstanding time. And I too, want to thank you for allowing us the time to get together. I certainly ditto what the other guys said about our opportunity to be together as a staff. You say, well, don't you get together on a weekly basis? Yes, we do. But as Lucas mentioned, we have just so many things we have to get down to business on. And while we do have a time of devotion and prayer, this was an extended time, and it allowed us some opportunities to really pour into one another. So thank you. Praise the Lord. We thought we'd share that with you. Your money at work. And we hope it was well spent. Let's have a word of prayer, shall we?